Welcome to Financial Peace University, Lesson 6, The Role of Insurance.
Please welcome Dave Ramsey.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Every quality team that has a winning season and wins a championship not only has a great offense, they've got a great
defense.
And the same is true in your financial plan. The same is true as you lay out your game plan on how you're going to handle your life. Now, in Super Saving, we helped you get an offense going where you're gaining some money. In the cash flow planning lesson, we helped you get an offense going where you're gaining some money. You know, in the dumping debt lesson even, we're clearing out stuff so that we can be offensive in the gaining of money. And then in Buyer Beware, we put our shields up. And we said, hey, you can't have my money. You're not going to interrupt my plan. And you've got to have a good defense. And tonight we're going to do that. We're going to add to our defensive game plan, our defensive scheme. And that is the role of insurance. Insurance is not to make you wealthy. Insurance is there to protect the things that are going to make you wealthy. And insurance is a pain. It's a pain because there's insurance for everything. You can get insurance for a hangnail. You can get insurance for anything. It's crazy out there. And the problem is half of it we don't understand and we feel like we need all of it and we end up buying the wrong things and we just sense that somehow insurance is everywhere. And it's the thing we all love to hate because we don't understand it. We feel like it takes a lot of money and we don't really feel like we're really getting any traction with it. And it's really because in most cases we're not. So I'm the guy that doesn't sell insurance. I've had all the licenses, I've had all the letters after my name, I dropped all the licenses so that I can tell you the truth. And if anybody wants to gripe, they'll just have to gripe. And they do, believe me. Because insurance people, some of them love this lesson because they're the people that sell the right kinds of things, and some of them really don't like Dave Ramsey. And you know what? If they start selling the right stuff to help you, then they'll be on my team and I'll be okay. If they're selling the wrong stuff and they don't like me, I'm okay with them not liking me. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. It's kind of a gift. So most people hate insurance for those reasons, but it's part of a good defensive game plan. Now let's look at understanding insurance. The purpose of insurance, very simply, is to transfer risk. Now, there's two kinds of risks that you're going to face. There's the risk of things that you can absorb yourself. You don't need insurance for a flat tire. You have an emergency fund to fix a flat tire. That's a risk you can handle, a small enough risk. You do need insurance if you total the whole car, because that's a big risk. You do need insurance if a big medical event occurs, but if you've got the flu, you can pay that one. And so we transfer risk in a good defensive game plan that we can't handle ourselves. The risk that we can handle ourselves, we save that money and don't pay it out in insurance premiums. You only pay insurance premiums on the risks you can't handle yourself. Without proper insurance, certain losses can bankrupt you. And you don't want to leave yourself exposed. That's your defensive mechanism here. It's your defensive game plan. You don't want to leave your family, your future, all your hard work, all the struggle you've done to build up some stuff, and now one thing takes it out. No, not if you've got the right kinds of insurance in place. Now, the basic types of insurance, most of us know those, and we're going to talk through those, and we're going to talk through some of the gimmick ones and what not to do as well. Homeowners or renters insurance, of course, auto insurance, of course, health insurance, most of us know we need that. Disability insurance, long-term care insurance, identity theft protection in the world we live in today, and of course, life insurance. So let's begin to break those down and look at them. We'll start with auto insurance. If you have a full emergency fund with your auto insurance, raise your deductible. Think high deductibles. Rich people think high deductibles. Higher deductibles means lower premiums. I'm paying out less because I'm taking some of the risk. And you can afford to do that if you have baby step three done, your fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. Now, higher deductibles are not always worth the money. So you have to do a little bit of math. It's called a break-even analysis. Here's how it works. Let's pretend on your auto insurance you had a $250 deductible, and we were going to price out raising it to a $1,000 deductible. Well, that means you're going to take an extra $750 in risk. Got it? Say yes.
Yes.
Now, if that's the case and they come back and they say, hey, we're going to cut your premiums by $75. Well, we've taken $750 worth of risk for $75 a year in savings. 750 divided by 75 is 10 years we've got to go without anything happening and hitting this deductible. Do you see how I did that? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. And that's too long. So we probably wouldn't do that one on an auto insurance situation. You're probably going to get some kind of a bump or a ding or something in a 10-year period of time. So that's too long. But let's say it saved you $150 a year. Well, now you got a 5-year break even, right? Into 750. So that's probably one we start to look at. So you say, how much risk am I taking versus what am I saving, and how long have I got to go without an event occurring? And that tells you whether raising your deductible is going to be a good buy or not. Always carry adequate or even over adequate liability. Liability in homeowners insurance and auto insurance is the best buy. Personal liability is the best buy in all of insurance. And so people try to come along, they want to take a $150,000 liability. No. Minimum of $500,000. Minimum of $500,000. Because if you get in a bad enough wreck that there's $100,000 involved, they're not coming after you for $100,000. They're coming after you for $1 million. And so that's a bad wreck. That's a bad situation that something's happened. And people don't fool around for $100,000 in lawsuits in those situations. So go ahead and take that $500,000 and price out the difference in the $150,000 and the $500,000 liability. You'll find it's very, very little. So that means after watching this lesson or attending this lesson, you got to go back right now and check your liability and make sure it's high enough. Because that's the best buy. It's going to be just a few dollars more to have the proper level of liability. You can consider, if your cars are paid for, dropping the collision. Now, years ago, this used to be a lot more popular. But honestly, collision is when you tear up your car. That's not when you tear up somebody else's car. When you wreck your car fixing your car, that's your collision, right? And honestly, competitive rates have caused that to be very affordable now. And even though I can afford to self-insure me tearing up my own car, for the coverage I get for what I pay, I'll go ahead and buy it in most cases. Now, if you don't have your emergency fund, you got to cover the car. Otherwise, you're going to be walking. All right? So even if you're driving a hoopty, you get hoopty insurance, right? Now, when it comes to homeowners and renters insurance, homeowners coverage has changed dramatically in the last couple of decades. Years ago, we used to have guaranteed replacement cost insurance. And homeowners coverage should be guaranteed replacement cost if at all possible. Very, very hard to find on homes under $500,000 these days. After several hurricane hits and other things, the insurance companies figured out a way that they could get their profits up, and that was by not covering everything. And what they do is now they cover the amount that they say, and it's called extended replacement cost insurance. And so that if you get a $200,000 home and you buy $200,000 worth of insurance, they'll extend it only so far above that. So you buy the home for $200,000. You come back a few years later, the thing's worth $500,000. You never really fixed your insurance. You just kept paying it and it burns down. You don't have $500 in coverage. You got $200 in coverage plus whatever extension they've given you. The maximum is about 50%. And so that $200,000 home probably has $300,000 maximum in coverage unless you've gone back with your insurance agent and raised it and kept it updated. So you can end up without full coverage because of the way these new policies are written. So I'm really not a fan of them, but that's mainly what's out there on homes under $500,000. Now, if you're a renter and you're in an apartment or renting a home or something like that, you need renter's insurance. This is contents insurance. It covers your stuff that's in the rental property in case of a fire, in case of a weather event, or in case of theft. It's very inexpensive. couple of hundred bucks in most areas, about $20,000 worth of coverage. So if you're a newlywed couple or something like that, get renter's insurance. Get renter's insurance, because you'll come home, that front door will be swinging, somebody kicked it open, took all your stuff out of there, and you got nothing, because you wouldn't pay 14 bucks a month. Get renter's insurance. As a landlord, I own a bunch of rental property, and many, many years ago, I had some rental property, and one of the saddest things I'll never forget was we had this nice little brick house. It wasn't anything fancy, but there was a guy in there, it was a hard-working guy living there, and they lived there about 3 months, and I got a call one night, and the thing was on fire. And I went over there, and of course, the family got out safe. Everybody was safe, thank goodness. And the next morning, we're going over there. It's a total loss. All their stuff's burned. My house is burned down. It was just a, you know, fire's a really sad thing anyway. And I'll never forget standing in the front yard with that guy, and he's really having a hard day, obviously. And he says, "So, Dave, when are we going to get our check for our furniture?" I said, "You're not, unless you have renter's insurance." "Well, as a landlord, you have to cover our stuff." I said, "No, not in any state. As a matter of fact, not only do I not have to, I can't, because I don't own your stuff, so I don't have what's called an insurable interest in your stuff, so I can't insure your things." And I watched as it dawned on him that I really was telling the truth, and all of his stuff was gone. And I will never forget that man's face when someone's talking about renter's insurance. Always have renter's insurance. An umbrella policy, an umbrella liability policy, is a great buy once you begin to build some wealth. Once you begin to get some things moving, where you've got some retirement, you've got some mutual funds, you've got some equity in your home and some things like that, now you want to start to get even more liability. Now remember, we set $500,000 limit on your homeowners, $500,000 limit over here on your auto, and the liability umbrella attaches to the top of that, and you can add another million in coverage, another $1 million in liability coverage for, in most states, somewhere around $200 to $300 a year. Very, very inexpensive, and a great buy for those of you that have already done well. But later on, remember, if you're starting to do well, go ahead and get that. Because again, a couple of hundred bucks and you got another $1 million in coverage. It's a very, very good idea. Health insurance, the number one cause of bankruptcy in North America today is not credit cards. They are number two. Number one is health insurance, or a lack of health insurance coverage. Health insurance coverage with great big deductibles and 80-20 copays and no emergency fund is usually what it is. Medical bills, number one cause of bankruptcy. And it's not people that are uninsured as much as you would think. It's people that have insurance and have a huge event and they didn't have good coverage. They didn't understand their coverage and what was going on. So let's look at it for a second. 69% of U.S. workers have something paid by their employer towards health insurance at the time we're taping this video. Of course, that's up in the air. There's a lot of politics around the issue of health insurance, a lot of things going on, so always check our website for updates. We can always tell you what's going on. We'll have the latest and greatest info. We're cutting edge folks, and you can always go online for tools there and keep up to date with everything that's going on. With health insurance, the same thing applies. You increase your deductible and or your co-insurance amount to get your premiums down. I'm trying to cause you to not pay all your money out in insurance premiums and only cover the big stuff. We're going to cover the little stuff with the emergency fund and with the budget, because we're going to use our money to do that. So a $250 deductible, if you are paying for some or all of your own health insurance, is not affordable for most families anymore. What you've got to be real careful with there is you can go ahead and raise that deductible up to $1,000. Most of those policies have what's called an 80-20 copay, which means after that $1,000 deductible, that of course the insurance company is going to pay 80% of everything after that, and you're going to pay 20% of everything after that. But let's keep in mind what that looks like. If it's a $100,000 event, that means you're going to have $21,000 out of pocket. Your $1,000 deductible plus your 20% of the $100,000. You have $21,000 out of pocket on a $100,000 event. And you and I know you can go to the hospital and run up $100,000 just like that. So you need to think about, this is where this emergency fund comes into play, and you think about how you're facing these different things. Now, You can increase your stop loss as well. Now, stop loss is after a certain amount out of your pocket, they pick up everything. Some of those PPOs I'm talking about might have a $10,000 stop loss. And so it's a $1,000 deductible, 80-20 until $10,000 out of your pocket. It's your out-of-pocket, then they pick up 100% after that. So learn what your stop loss is. I will tell you, that's one I wouldn't tinker with. I'll tinker with the deductible and raise it. I wouldn't mess with the stop loss. You can even tinker on some policies with the 80-20 and do a 70-30, which means you're accepting 30% of the risk there. But again, you got to add up what that's going to amount to and what is the savings you get for that. If it's just a few dollars, I'm going to let them take that extra risk. But if it really chops my health insurance is driving me into the poorhouse, and I can really chop it by going 70-30 and our family's pretty healthy, maybe we need to look at that. So stop loss is one I really wouldn't mess with, but you need to know what it is. Now, the other thing you don't want to do is you never decrease your maximum pay, their maximum pay. The insurance company will have an amount that says after $1 million, we're out. Or after $500,000, we're out. You never decrease that down in order to save. That's the end we're trying to cover. The little stuff you're covering, we're letting them cover the big stuff. And so we don't take their $1 million and they're out, or their $2 million and they're out, and decrease it down to save. That's not the way to save. Leave that one alone. So never decrease the maximum pay, which is what the insurance company is obligated to pay maximum. So if you get into a thing where you've got twins in a NICU unit, and you run up through $1 million, which can happen, then you know they're going to keep paying all the way up through there. But if you cut that down to $500,000, you can bust through that number pretty quick in a situation like that, and all of a sudden you're on the hook for $300,000 or $400,000. The situation has bankrupted most people then, and so you want that maximum pay to be on them. Now, see if an HSA, a health savings account, would make sense for your specific situation. The HSA works like this. I love the HSA. I have an HSA on me. I offer 3 plans through our company for our team members, 1 PPO and 2 HSA options. That's how much I think of this plan. Now, the HSA is called the Health Savings Account. And the way it works is this: very high deductible, and then it pays 100%. And it's about 2/3 as much. So if you on a PPO, if you'd be paying $500, your HSA is probably going to be about $300 a month. It's going to save you that much in premiums. But it's not a $1,000 deductible, it's a $5,000 deductible. But after $5,000, it pays 100%. It's not 80-20. So here's the way that works. If you're pretty healthy, that's a great deal for you. If all you're doing is doing the occasional flu, going to the doc kind of thing and that kind of stuff, or if you're really, really sick, because you're going to blow through the $5,000 real quick, and then 100% after that, and it's going to make, and you only paid $300 instead of $500 a month for it, so it's going to make a lot of sense if you're healthy or you're real sick. In the middle, it's not so good, because you can get up there in that $3,000-$4,000 range, burning through that deductible, and that $200 difference between 300 premiums and 500 premiums doesn't cover that difference. You see, so you want the deductible. You want to understand with the HSA, you got the big deductible, smaller premiums, and 100% payout. And then the other thing you're allowed to do then is you're allowed to save up to your deductible into a savings account every year called a health savings account. The amount of money you put in there is tax deductible. So it's like a health insurance IRA, if you will, called an HSA. And so while we saved $200 on the premiums, we took more risk on the deductible, and we can throw money over here and create a tax deduction up to $5,000 or up to the deductible plan that you sign up for. So you get a tax deduction, and you can use that money in that savings account anytime to cover medical expenses. So if you chunk your deductible in there pretty quick, you can cover the whole. It's kind of like a beefed up emergency fund that the government caused you to not pay taxes on. Then you're saving money big time on your premiums. And that's been the net result to us. And we've actually never even used the savings account portion of it to pay bills with. We just let it build up. So I've got like an extra $5,000 a year I can stick over there and keep taxes off of it and let it grow. And then we're just, you know, we pay for the pediatrician or we pay for the dermatologist or whatever, you know, that we go to. So again, the HSA is a great plan for families that are pretty healthy and doing pretty well. If you got kind of chronic stuff going on, probably not going to work so well for you. The HSA is a tax-sheltered savings account for medical expenses that works with a high-deductible insurance policy. It creates 100% tax deduction on the amount you put in there.